has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Oh, Jim, you can try to laugh it off, but I've known for many years that I'm gifted with powers not given to ordinary mortals. Do you know, sometimes I can just walk into a strange room and say, the people here are not happy.
How do they feel when you walk out of the room? Look, Bentley, now come along. What are you trying to persuade me into? Now tell me.
Letting me foretell what the future holds for you and June Whitfield.
Oh.
Yeah, think of it this way, Jim. Time is like a great river down which we're all floating. Where are we bound?
Well, according to the papers, up the creek.
No. Well, Jimmy, if you give me your hand, I can tell you. Come on, give me your hand.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
That's it? Now, let's see. Yes, the general blunt shape indicates aggressiveness, arrogance, and yet a definite touch of stupidity. Now, let me feel the back of your hand.
Across where?
Please. Please, Jimmy, this is quite impersonal.
All right.
Now the palm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is definitely the hand of a man who works on the land.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'll wipe it on my jacket.
And this diagonal line, that represents your love life.
I think that's just dirt.
Well, that's your own affair. Now, just a minute. Now, here is the one we want. Yeah. The line of the future.
Oh, yeah.
It runs up here quite smoothly. Then to here, then... Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Bentley, you've gone quite white. I insist that you tell me. Now, what did you see in my lifeline?
Jimmy, I'd rather not talk about it. It's given me a very unpleasant shock.
Bentley, what?
Well, Jimmy, I looked right down the line of your life and... Oh, Jim.
What, Bentley?
Nothing horrible is going to happen to you.
Waking up in the middle of the night, I've been thinking, wishing I could love you a little by the light of the moon. I've been thinking of the time that you cuddled me before, burning, yearning, hoping you could hold and cuddle me some more real soon. And in my thoughts you never say no, 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 your lips are ready to go, go, go. And that's why I've been thinking so much of good, clean, innocent fun. So I've been thinking of the time when you'll really be mine. I've been thinking that I could spend a lifetime thinking of you. I've been thinking, wishing I could love you a little by the light of the moon. Hoping I could hold and cuddle you some more real soon. And in my thoughts you never say no, 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 your lips are ready to go, go, go. And that's why I've been thinking so much of a good, clean, innocent fun. So I've been thinking of a time when you'll really be mine. I've been thinking that I could spend a lifetime thinking of you, just you.
Jim, I've just been out to buy the missus something she can use to flatten out some of her bulges. One of them roller things.
A reducing roller?
A steam roller. Nothing else will shift it. It's all this rich food us moneyed classes shoved down us.
Poor old wealthy Wall. Your wife is putting on weight then, eh?
It's not the right thing for the wife of a man like me. A social knob. After all, my wife should be a symbol of my classiness.
And she's not a symbol?
Symbol? She's more like a bass drum. My only ray of hope is this diet the doctor put her on. He's restricted her to just one big meal per day.
Well, one meal a day, that's pretty drastic.
Well, she's keeping to it. When I left, she was just eating her way through December the 4th, 1987.
Poor old Wally does suffer. You want to have a private confab with the doctor. Oh, which reminds me, Dunners, haven't we some words about private confabs?
Oh, yes, sir, and by private confabs, we mean those little official conversations which we, the public, see, but are never in a position to overhear. For example, in a department store, when you raise an objection to the price of an article, the assistant sometimes goes over and has a private confab about it with the under-manager. We always hope their conversation goes like this.
He is a very good customer. I think we ought to let him have it cheaper. I know the shirt's actually worth every penny of 4 guineas, but he's such a nice chap. I do think we should let it go for 30 shillings.
In point of fact, her words are more likely to be...
Here, you'll never believe this. You know that 15-bob shirt we reduced to 12 and 6? I've got a mug here who'll pay 30-bob for it.
Our other example is when you spy two policemen standing beside your parked car. As you walk towards them, they look at you and have a quiet little confab with each other. What you pray they're saying is this.
You can't blame him for not seeing that no parking sign, Fred.
Oh, I wouldn't try, George. He's obviously the honest type.
It's really our fault, Fred, for placing the sign so that it can be obscured by passing pedestrians.
You're quite right, George. Will you apologise to him, or shall I?
In actual fact, they very rarely do say that. The following is much more probable.
Look at him walking towards us. He's gone white already.
Yes, well, I'll just undo the flap of me top pocket.
Watch him cringe.
That's lovely, isn't it, eh? After all, the notice can't say clearer than what it does. No parking here on even dates.
Of course it can't.
By the way, what is the date?
The 5th.
Oh, blast!
Fife's Talking Point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people treading life's highway. Today, their talking point is it true that marriage teaches a man loyalty, tolerance, thrift, tidiness, and all the other qualities he'd never need if he'd had the sense to stay single? So, over to the Glums.
Arrangements. There's the bridesmaids' dresses, the posies, the actual ceremony, the afterwards, the car hire firm, the catering, the wedding presents. Have you thought hard about any of them, Ron?
Only the afterwards, eh?
We've settled that, Ron. It's to be in the Regal Cafe. Now the wedding presents, Ron. I've made out my list of things I'd like relations to buy us. Is your list handy, Ron?
Yes, eh?
Well, where is it, beloved?
Up in the light bowl, eh?
Up in the... Oh, Ron, you and your paper aeroplanes. Well, if you'll get it down, beloved, I'll read my list. 1, a set of matching saucepans. 2, electric toaster, NB pop-up if pos. 3... a plaster wall plaque, brackets, Windsor Castle or floral. Do you want to hear the other 65, Ron?
No, eh? I've got my list down now.
Oh, well, you read out what wedding presents you want most, then.
Right, oh, eh? 1, a vest. 2... a baked jam roll.
Oh, Ron, why the baked jam roll?
I like it, eh?
It should be something for both of us.
Well, you can have a bit, eh? Eh? Will I go on?
Yes,
all right. We've done one and two. Three, a view backroscope.
A what, Ron?
A view backroscope, eh? It's advertised on the inside cover of my Tales from the Morgue. You put it to your eye and you can observe what your friends are doing behind you. G-men use them, eh?
But, Ron, it's not really a thing a young couple need for setting up home. What you've got to think of, Ron, is something that'll be nice for both of us.
Right-o, eh?
No, I didn't mean that, Ron.
Go on, just a kiss.
But, Ron, we've got so much to...
Hello. Let her go, let her go, let her go, Ronald.
Here, Ron, give us a shout when the kettle starts steaming, will you? By mistake, a letter for next door's been delivered here. Hello? What's this list here? Electric toaster, plaster wall plaque, ironing board, set of saucepans. Cool, lummy, sounds like what fell out when that store detective upended Auntie Flossie.
Mr. Glum, it's the list of what wedding presents we want.
Oh, really? Let's have a look. Oh, here's a soppy thing to ask for. A hot plate.
No, Mr. Glum, a hot plate, like a hall stand.
A hot plate like a hall stand? Oh, that's a real inventor's club gadget, isn't it? What's the idea of writing out this list? I can't see what's behind it.
You will when I get my view backroscope, Dad.
But you can't just give orders like that. It makes it very difficult for people. I mean, think of Auntie Lil. She's got her heart set on you having her antique Georgian teapot. All it needs is a handle and a spout. Be as good as new if you can find a lid for it.
Yeah, but Dad...
Please, Ron, may I? Now, not when I'm in the middle of something, please, Ron.
Hi, Dad.
What you two don't realise is what a difficult position that list of yours puts people in. Several of them wedding presents, what you've got down there, will have to actually be bought.
But, Mr. Glum...
Well, I mean...
A Georgian teapot. That's about as much use to young people nowadays as a marble washstand.
Oh, I see. Well... I shall have to have a word with Mrs. Glum about this. Excuse me if I happen to raise my voice, but she's up the stepladder actually getting down our wedding present from the loft. Mother! Here! Listen, that wedding present for Ron and Eve. What, you are at this actual moment, carrying down from the loft, as you might say. You'll have to carry it back up, because it's not on our dear F's demand note.
Oh, Mr. Glum! Oh, dear! Oh, what was that?
Well, it was a marble washstand.
Ship, let my worries blow away. There are still many treasure islands that wait to be explored, and the wide world is full of wonders for me. When a ship's standing in the harbor, I wish myself aboard. To the rolling tide, carries me to sea.
Then I go sailing far off to Zanzibar. Though my dream places seem better than they really are.
Way down deep in my heart I keep faith, as people will often do, who are stay-at-home stowaways. Better than they really are. Way down deep in my heart I keep them, as people will often do, who are stay-at-home stowaways too. Three
more brandies and soda, please. I say, Bentley, my wife brought home a book all about Lucretia Borgia. Had some kind of a to-do with this chap, Machiavelli. Scotch, I suppose.
No, I'll have another brandy, please, again, sir. But if you want to know about Lucretia Borgia and Mac, well, we'll give you the dope now. Oh, forward, Dunners.
The scene is Italy in the year 1522. In a dark alleyway off the Piazza El Martino, a heavily built man is fighting desperately for his life. Steel flashes as he fends off the cloaked ruffians who are attacking him. Desperately he calls, "Help!" in Italian.
Help in Italian! Help in Italian!
Back, you dunce!
I'll sell my life dearly. All right, you curs. Spit yourselves on my sword. I didn't mean it that way. Oh, nasty beast. Ah, they've taken to their heels. I wonder why.
Santa Lucia.
Ah, because someone approaches. A youth drifting along the canal, lazily strumming a mandolin.
Ho there, up there.
Who's that down there saying, "Ho there, up there"?
It's me. Have you seen my gondola? I pushed too hard with the pole and fell into the canal.
Come up here, youth. I wish to thank thee for the timely intervention, which may have saved the life of the most famous man in Italy.
You're not Papa Piccolino.
Nay, youth, Machiavelli, Jim Machiavelli, the one Italian who is trying to get rid of the Borgia yoke. You know Lucretia Borgia?
She bores everybody.
That's the yoke we're trying to get rid of.
And tell me, thy name, stripling?
Lorenzo Di Mantovani. Unemployed. Till 15 minutes ago I was a gondolier, but now I've lost me pole, I seek a post.
Then let me reward thee for saving my important life. Take service with me as a link boy. 2 lire a month. Find your own link. That's medieval for torch.
Carrying the torch for Jim. Oh, I am thine to command, sirrah. But why did those ruffians so roughly set about thee?
I know not. But see, one lies there wounded upon the cobbles. Probably a hired foreign mercenary. We must question him. You, rough chops. Parlez-vous français? Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Mambo Italiano? Now tell me, who was it hired thee to kill Machiavelli? Who was it?
Quick, sire, he's going fast.
He's going next week unless he stops hogging the scene. Look, Wallace, who was it?
It was Lucretia Borgia.
Scene 2, Lucretia Borgia's sumptuous bathroom. Lucretia is having a foam bath, stretched out languorously in a marble bath and covered from chin to toe in non-transparent bubbles. To the left of the hot tap is a troubadour. He beguiles her with a song.
I'm forever blowing, baby.
Enough! Be gone! I am tired of song. Let me beguile myself a while now with a worthwhile book. Carlotta, fetch me the poison register. Oh, that will be the two hired ruffians I sent to assassinate Machiavelli. Carlotta, slosh another box full of detergent around me and have them enter.
Si, signora. Two ruffians, madame. Will you step inside, please?
A pleasure.
Not inside the bath.
Wait. You are no ruffians. You're Machiavelli. Mm. Oh, so the assassination failed.
Thanks to the intervention of this young man. Permit me to introduce Lorenzo di Mantovani.
How do you do, miss? Please don't get up.
Lucrezia! Lucrezia, I know why you tried to kill me. You know that I, Machiavelli, have sworn to break the evil power of the Borgias, to overthrow them and make our fair city of Venice safe for international film festivals. Down with tyranny!
Eviva!
Venice for the Venisons!
Eviva!
Up the Renaissance, Jim for Doge!
Eviva!
And so Lorenzo is also a patriot.
No, he just suffers from Eviva. Lucrezia, the whole palazzo is now surrounded by my men. Oh. I will keep you here under the charge of Lorenzo while I march on Pisa. There's something there I've been wanting to straighten up for a long time. Beware of her, Lorenzo. Do not let her beauty tempt you from your allegiance to me. I want you to swear your fealty.
I swear I'm fealty.
Well said, lad. Now, I'll get on the road to Pisa. Arrivederci!
And so I was left in sole charge of the most beautiful and unscrupulous woman in all Italy. I, a beardless youth. The more I thought about it, the quicker my beard grew. The next day we sat together discussing Machiavelli. There we were on the terrazzo of her palazzo, talking about Fatso.
Do not believe what Machiavelli tells you about the Borgias, Lorenzo. Here, have one of my homemade chocolates.
Well, I'm really not much of a chocolate eater. One chocolate and I'm finished?
Quite. Well, at least you must look in the chocolate box. There must be something you fancy.
There is, but it's not in the chocolate box. Mind you, this chocolate smells nice. Rather like bitter almond. But I don't think I should.
Then have a glass of my homemade wine, Lorenzo. The bottles are at your elbow. Oh, no, not the green bottle.
Oh, the dark blue bottle with the skull and crossbones on it?
That is the one. Parsnip wine. Here, let me fill you a goblet. Here you are, Lorenzo.
Thank you, Lucrezia. Very nice.
You fool! I win! The wine in that bottle was poisoned!
What? I'm dying.
Oh, no, you're not.
Machiavelli.
Ah, my dear Lucrezia, not for nothing am I known as the Prince of Foxes. You see, before I left, I took the precaution of pouring all the wine from the blue bottle into the green bottle.
Very clever. But, Signor Machiavelli, as soon as you had gone, all the wine you poured from the blue bottle into the green bottle, I immediately poured back into the blue bottle after first pouring what was in the blue bottle into the green bottle.
Yeah. But what you don't know is that I came back an hour later.
Oh, no.
Game, set, and match, I think, Miss Borgia.
Oh, sir, you've saved my life. How can I repay you?
Oh, don't worry about it, lad. Just something small. A dozen hankies. A box of chockies.
A box of chockies. Lucrezia, do you mind
No, not at all. I'd like him to have them.
Here, Mr. Machiavelli.
Oh, how nice. All for me.
Yes.
That's a chucky. Well, thank you very much. Help in Italian! Help in Italian!
And the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes. David Dunhill was the announcer. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script. And the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and
take it from